We live in a time of fast-moving and complex change on both the personal and global level. Welcome or unwelcome, nothing is more certain than the constant and uncertain movement of change. Whether change is met with excitement or met with fear, we can easily become overwhelmed by all of that movement. So changeability is the ability to effectively navigate change with more ease. In the new book, The Changeability Playbook and Changeability, Sharon Weil walks us through the personal and public changes of our own life and helps find new approaches in meeting those changes. Again, the name of the book is Changeability, How Artists, Activists, and Awakeners Navigate Change. There is also the Changeability Playbook, How to Navigate Your Own Change. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Sharon Weil to the roundtable this morning. Sharon, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
What brought you to this subject and even the idea of what changeability is?
Well, you know, I've been thinking about and working with change in many different ways throughout my life. But specifically, I wrote a novel called Donnie and Ursula Save the World, which was about how love and Eros spark people to do things beyond their imagination, and these mismatched lovers became reluctant activists and they did great things. And so the question in that book for me was, what does it take to be brave? When is that moment when you say enough is enough and you finally take an action on behalf of something or someone you love? And so I decided to do a podcast where I spoke to many different innovative change makers, people who I felt were brave in the face of change, but everyday people who were, you know, working across many different fields. And in listening to their answers about how they work with change and how they face sometimes impossible odds, I started to hear common things, and enough so that I wanted to put it out in a book called Changeability, which is really about helping people find more flexibility, adaptability, and effectiveness in how they meet change.
I've heard this described two ways. One is that none of us really like change.
Yeah.
And that we face it. I've also heard it described that we can fall into two camps, the people who reject change and they don't like it and they get very satisfied with what they have and they don't welcome it, and the other people who thrive on some sort of change. How do you feel that equation really works out?
Well, I think it's both. You know, we are basically conservative creatures, us humans, and we don't do things unless we have to, you know, unless we have a really compelling reason why. And you can look at any drama where, you know, the hero first tries something, it doesn't work, and then they try something else, and that doesn't work. And it's only when, all else fails that they really, you know, come through to the climax. You know, so humans are conservative, and we don't do anything that we don't have to do. On the other hand, we do thrive on novelty. You know, when we get set in patterns, when they form closed systems, and we start to, get stale, right? And so novelty is really important. It's really important for the nervous system to have something new. And, you know, most artists will... Oh, you know, the stereotype of the artist who is sad or who is emotionally in turmoil, right? It's because you're off balance. And it's when we're off balance that actually innovation can come in, whether it's because you have to or because, you know, you're looking for something new.
The subtitle of the book is How Artists, Activists, and Awakeners Navigate Change. I'm okay on artists. I'm okay on activists. What's an awakener?
So awakener is a word that I use for teachers, leaders, people who inspire us to change, you know, who want to awaken us to something new, whether it's a new point of view, a new way of looking at something. So those are the people that I think of as awakeners. And most of the people in the book are kind of all three, but at least two of the three. You know, there are times someone's putting out a new vision. They are serving that purpose of awakening us to something new, some new possibility.
You have a large section in the book, and I'm so glad that you do. You have such a large section in the book on listening and listening deeply, and the importance of listening and hearing and receiving and perceiving and observing and understanding. Why is that so important?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's what you do. That's what you do for a living, right?
Yeah, it's a key thing.
Yes.
And but I also find in teaching students, it's the hardest thing for them to understand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, when I was speaking to my guests on the podcast, when I continue to speak to guests on my podcast, the first common principle that emerged was this listen deeply. And that, you know, people, especially body workers, artists, you know, medical people, you listen first. You ask the question first. What is going on here? What's the change that wants to happen or needs to happen? You know, whether you're asking that question publicly, whether you're asking that question personally, it's very important to ask, to inquire, to be in a state of true inquiry, so that whatever comes is genuine. You know, it's not part of your pre-thought agenda. You know, a lot of times people have a strong agenda. They have a strategic plan, and that's great to have a strategic plan. You need to have a strategy. But if you only hold to that and you don't listen to the feedback that the world is offering you, you could miss the mark on right, left, wherever you go. And so, you know, life is a process and change is a process of listening and saying, what's going on here right now? What needs to happen? And then to be able to respond more authentically.
One of the things that I circled in the book, anyone who knows me knows that I'm too OCD to actually mar a book, but but I put a little post-it note next to it,
okay,
and that is your word territory, and both a literal meaning to that and a metaphoric meaning to territory.
Mm-hmm. So what are you asking me about territory?
When it comes to this idea, because it's in the listening chapter, why is territory so essential to that?
Well, territory is the terrain, right? Territory is the landscape, whether it's the internal landscape, you know, of our beings, or whether it's what we're looking out on. You know, another word for territory is context, which I think is really an important idea to understand, that, you know, change always takes place within a context and within an environment, whether it's your work or a relationship or it's a part of the world, or, you know, right now we've got these fires going in these horrible fires in Napa and Sonoma and down in Orange County. That's a context for change, and the context will either allow change to happen easily or it will constrict change. And so a lot of times when people are trying to make change and they find that it's very difficult, they need to look at the context and see how permeable is that context, how flexible is that context, is it allowing that change that needs to take place to take place, and if not, how can you address the context or create a new one?
The name of the book is Changeability, How Artists, Activists, and Awakeners Navigate Change. We should note this also comes with, there is the book, and then there is also a playbook. How do you envision people using the playbook?
So the playbook came about because when people were reading the book and reading these amazing quotes by these very insightful guests, they were always thinking about their own change, right? They were always applying it to their own change. And so the playbook, I'm calling it a playbook because it's a workbook, but nobody wants to work when people rather play than work. So its approach is more fun. So it's activities, it's question sets that allow you to track your own change. So, and sprinkled in there is also short essays about how you might apply these 7 principles for change towards relationship change, towards health change, towards career change, towards social change. And so the book allows you to play along with your own changes and hopefully give you some insight into how to reframe how you're approaching change. I mean, that's why I'm doing these books. That's why I've put these books out, is to really try to help people in the overwhelm or in the frustrated stuckness that often comes with rapid change, you know, or deep personal change. And so these are meant to be tools to help people find more flexibility, adaptability for themselves.
The name of the book, Changeability, How Artists, Activists, and Awakeners Navigate Change. There is also the Changeability Playbook. Both are published by Archer. Sharon Weil, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us this
morning.
Oh,
thank you, Joe. It's been great.
Great
you.
Pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book, Changeability, published by Archer. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.